Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. None of us exactly enjoy popping postage stamps into our mouths in order to make the sticky back work. And the flavor of the horrible fish glue is something even Abel Seaman Johnson finds it hard to develop a taste for.
Lick there. Lick there. Lick there. Lick there.
Johnson, my little rotund and overweight mate. What the lick there thump do you think you're doing?
I'm lick there thumping the stamps on my letters.
What all that lot? What are you starting? A podgy pen friend club?
No, I'm not. These are all for my mum Min.
Your mum Min?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you put them all in one envelope? Then you'd only have to lick thump once.
Oh, no, they're not all going to her. They're all for her, you see. They're all my competition entries.
Competition entries?
Yeah, I want to win a £5,000 prize so I can buy her an house.
Yeah, but she's already got an house.
Yeah, but my two brothers are coming home from abroad, you see. And if all three of us are at home together, it's going to be a bit cramped, isn't it?
If your brothers are both your size, she doesn't want a new semi-detached, she wants a warehouse. Now, what are all these competitions, anyway?
Well, this is me pools, and that's what the heck happened to the football. And this one's me woof-woof.
You what?
Me woof-woof. See, you have to complete the slogan. There's a picture of Basher the Bulldog sitting looking at his dish full of woof-woof dog food. And he says, woof-woof, I like my tin of woof-woof liver lumps because... And you have to fill in his because.
I see. And what have you put?
I put, woof woof, I like my tin of woof woof liver lumps because I like lumpy liver.
Brilliant. Positively brilliant. And how did you arrive at a sparkling slogan like that?
Simple. I put myself in Basher the Bulldog's plate.
Oh? How?
I bought a tin of woof woof and ate it.
Yes, of course you would, wouldn't you? And what magnificent prize you're going to get if you should happen to win, eh?
A year's supply of free dog food.
Congratulations. And just which building society is going to accept 365 tins of woof woof as the down payment on a house for your mum, Min?
I hadn't thought of that.
Now, fortunately, you're lucky enough to be able to call on the assistance of an experienced, shrewd, quick-witted, and highly talented colleague to aid you in your money-making venture.
Am I? Who's that, then?
Me, of course, you bell-bottom butterball. Now, first of all, if you want to make money, you want to enter for something with a big prize and no entry fee. You know, one that can be won entirely by individual skill and initiative.
And a relative on the panel of judges,
dear. No.
Come on, be cheap. There aren't any competitions like that.
Of course there are. Now, look, I've got it. Look, I saw a bit about it in the papers this morning. You can enter for the MPF competition.
Eh? Do I have to run for that?
No, of course not. You fly.
Oh, well, I wouldn't mind. Oh, what?
You fly. It's the man-powered flight competition.
No, Char.
Then look, all you've got to do is build an aeroplane, and with your own puff and pedal, make it fly 1 mile round a figure of 8 course.
No, Char.
Well, why not? You've got the right figure for it. You needn't go higher than 10 feet.
No, Char.
And the first man to do it collects a prize of £10,000.
Yes, please. How do I build an aeroplane?
How do you what?
How do I build an aeroplane, I said?
You don't, we do. It'll be a combined effort. I'll supply the parts.
Yes.
And you can supply the labour. That you can begin now. Start cleaning up all the gear out of number 2 hole. We'll need all that space we can get for the building of the perisher.
Good morning, you chap. I must apologize for being a little tardy in entering onto the wardroom this happy breakfast time.
It's unusual for you to be late, Padre. You're usually first time to breakfast.
Quite, quite. Unfortunately, last night the joy of an untroubled kip eluded me.
Oh.
Because of my enforced insomnia, was all the banging and clouting taking place in some other part of our splendid vessel.
Banging and clouting? Well, that's strange. I didn't take the ship out last night. We're not having anything repaired that I know of.
Lummy, perhaps there's some burglars trying to break in through the side.
That I doubt, Mr. Phillips. But the mention of the word burglar brings me to a further point. My pad appears to have been turned over.
What?
The mini-bicycle belonging unto me now apparently belongeth unto somebody else.
It has been knocked off.
Been knocked off!
You know, it's funny you should mention that, Padre. I seem to have something missing as well.
We all know that, Mr. Phillips. What have you lost?
I don't like to tell you.
Oh, come on, Mr. Phillips. Speak up and out.
Well, if you must know, my nylon shorty pajamas.
Hard feed, old chap. Yes, and whilst we're on the subject, you two aren't the only ones. My brand new set of golf clubs disappeared. Oh, goodness me, and lackaday. Our valiant ship has been hit by a crime wave.
Yes, obviously. At least that's what it looks like.
Might one suggest that the time has come for us to report the matter unto the dockyard rather?
No, hang on, Padre. Before we do that, I've got a better idea.
What's that, sir?
We'll ask Chief Petty Officer Pertwee what he knows about it.
Aha. Do you think our gallant shipmate may have a clue?
No, but I think he may have a minibike, a set of golf clubs, and a set of my pajamas.
True. In any case, he will no doubt be able to supply information that will lead to the apprehension of the culprit and his eventual incarceration in the nick.
In the nick!
Oh, me poor little thumb, you made me hit it.
Never mind, you've got the handlebars off.
Yeah, nearly had me thumb off and all. It's all glowing and throbbing, my thumb is, and it's not happy, Johnson. It's not, you know, it's not happy. It doesn't like being hit.
Look, Johnson.
Especially by a dirty great hammer when it wasn't looking.
Look, Pelter!
It's all gone black and blue, my thumb has, and the other one's gone dead white.
What?
Yeah, white with fright. Thinks it might be his turn to get belted next.
Look, when you stop yakking about your thumbs and consonates. Now, look, while I'm ripping up these pajamas and sheets, I've got another little job for you.
What?
Start chopping all the knobbly bits off the end of them golf clubs.
What do we want them for?
Well, straps, of course. But we'll need them to fix around the rim of one of those wheels you took off the minibike. And then when they're covered with nylon, they'll make the overhead rotor, you see.
Oh, I thought you needed struts for the wings.
Blimey, you haven't grasped any of it, have you? We're not building an aeroplane, we're building a man-powered helicopter.
With no wings.
Right.
Name me thumbs, Happy, but I'm not.
Hey, look out. Here, look, there's somebody at the door. Look, shh. Look, keep quiet.
All right, GP. There's no need to say you're not there, because I know you are. It's only me.
Blimey, it would have to be, wouldn't it? Leading Seaman Goldstein, the Cranball Geoffrey Flyerbell. What's he doing down here?
I heard that. Any more tacky taunting, and I won't warn you what's coming and when to duck.
Hey, warn us? Quick, let him in, Fatso.
I thought that would find the right combination.
What's going on in here, then?
Never you mind. What's going on out there?
Well, quite a bit, really. I just thought you might like to know that if you and Fatty here are dabbling in stolen, you'd better watch it.
Eh? Why?
Because every rating going off the ship is being searched.
Oh, is that all? Oh, well, you needn't worry about us. Our consciences are crystal clear, Tuffy. Besides, hey, how could Fatso ever ride a minibike? Hey, he looked like an elephant sitting on a roller skate. What sort of nonsense do you think I'd look trotting down the gangplank with a bag of golf clubs stuffed up me jumper?
Now, it's funny you should mention a minibike and a set of golf clubs.
Why?
Because I didn't. How did you know they were amongst the things that were missing?
Number one told me what had been nicked when I was interrogating about it.
You were interrogating?
Yes.
Well, how come you're not in the rattle then? Doesn't add up.
Yes, it do. Yet after a complete and thorough investigation and being questioned for an hour, I was able to convince number one and Mr. Phillips that Pertwee knew absolutely nothing about this petty Pertwee.
Well, how?
You looked him straight in the eyes and lied his head off.
Look, I shan't warn you again, Giggle Nasty.
Good. Well, you may have satisfied the officers for the moment, but it's not only them that suffered, is it? Bits and pieces have been disappearing from all over the ship, including the souvenir plastic leak Aunt Morpeth sent me from the last I said first.
Yes, well, you see, we needed a bit of plastic to bind round her. Yeah, well, everything will be returned. It'll all be returned, don't worry, and replaced the moment we've won our £10,000.
£10,000? Have you gone round the bend?
No, my son. But we're going in a figure of eight over a 1 mile course. Now go on, off it, and let the pioneers of man-powered flight get on with their job.
Man-powered flight? You mean you're hoping to get that contraption off the ground?
Look, stop harping, you Welsh nut. You won't get your souvenir plastic leak back. Now leave us alone and get on with our project, will you?
Morning, Heather.
Is old Thundergut's in?
Well, yes and no. Captain Purvey's in, but for you two, he's out. For your blood. He said that if you came in with another Indian for so much as one tintac, he wanted to see you immediately.
Oh, well, that's all right, then. You needn't bother him.
Why not?
We don't want any tintacs. We want safety pins.
I beg your pardon?
2 dozen packets of them.
Oh, gracious of them. Perhaps you'd like a few dozen nappies to go with them.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. We're talking about our sick bay, not maternity ward 10.
Lieutenant, will you do 3 copies of this trip? Well, well, well. Lieutenant Murray and Sub-Lieutenant Phillips. And where are your shopping baskets this morning?
Oh, actually, we've just placed our order, sir, and we'd like it sent.
Would you? Would you? French Hayden, let me see that Indian form.
Here you are, sir.
What is it for, this? 24 packets of safety pins? Oh, now, really, this is too much. French Hayden, would you mind reading out all of this week's shopping list?
Well, up to now, sir, they've asked for 18 balls of twine, 2 gallons of cellulose varnish, 6 rolls of surgical tape, a coil of thin gauge wire, 2 rows of assorted nuts and bolts, a set of goggles, a crash helmet, and a pair of bicycle clips.
Good grief. Is that the lot?
No, sir, that's just the first page. Shall I read on?
You know, don't bother. There's quite enough there for them to try and explain. Now, let's start with the set of goggles, the crash helmet, and the bicycle clip.
Oh, that's quite simple, sir. They belong to the Padre.
The Padre? What on earth does he drive? A Formula 2 racing car?
No, sir, a minibike.
But then what's he want all that stuff for?
He's a desperately careful driver, sir. In fact, in traffic, he only scoots it along the pavement.
Ringing his little bell all the time, sir.
It's a jolly impressive sight.
In that outfit, it must be.
But why does he want replacements for those items? I mean, they should be paid for out of his own pocket. Or has he worn them out in the course of duty?
No, sir. They all went missing at the same time as his minibike disappeared.
Oh, I see. So the Padre no longer has a minibike.
No, sir.
In that case, he won't be needing the gear that goes with it, will he? French Hayden, cancel those items.
Aye.
But all these things really are missing, sir. We think they've been stolen.
Stolen? Safety pins? Balls of twine? Surgical tape? And what master craftsman do you imagine would bother with a rickshaw like that? All this stuff must be still on your ship somewhere. Now, you get back on board and conduct a thorough search until you find it. Grandchaser, you go with them and take that list with you. Otherwise, the fools will forget what they're looking for.
Aye, sir.
I say, what a good idea.
I'm glad you think so, Mr. Phillips. Because at 4 o'clock, I shall be coming aboard Troutbridge myself to carry out a full inspection.
Oh. That's not such a good idea.
And if I find so much as one of those so-called missing items is not really missing, then I shall assume that none of them are, and you can pay for the lot of them out of your own funds.
Go on, Fatso. Keep peddling. The rotor blades are going round a tree.
Yeah, so are Fatso's poor little feet. All me ankles. All me legs. All me knees. All me... This saddle's jolly hard, you know.
Who cares about the saddle? Look, what's a bit of discomfort when you're about to make history, eh? Keep going, you podgy peddling pudding. First...
Oh,
can't. If I go any faster, I'll take off. That's what you're trying to do, you great nit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's no good, Chief. It's no good. I'm done.
Selfish. That's your trouble, isn't it? Selfish. Why don't you think about other people for a change?
I've been thinking heck a lot of things about you all the morning. You want to hear some of them?
Yeah. No, never mind. Look, what about your mum, Min, then, eh? If you stop peddling, how are you going to buy her a new house?
If I keep peddling, she won't need a new house. She'll have enough room in the old one. Fatso will be caps off, heads down, all gone, won't he?
Well, they are, then, so long as you keep peddling. You solve your mum, Min's housing problem either way.
Oh, yeah, I never... You're a rotten, you are. Dirty, stinking, rotten. If all the rotten rottens in the rotten world were rotten laid from rotten end to rotten end, they'd rotten stretch all the rotten way from rotten you to rotten you and rotten back again.
Rotten would they?
Yes, they rotten would.
Finish? Yeah. Good, then get peddling.
Oh. What's the good? The design of this thing is all wrong.
It's not the design of the chopper that's wrong. It's not the design that's all wrong. It's the design of the pilot. Look at you. Go on, look at you, you great fat 2-ton bladder of lard. No wonder it won't lift off the ground.
Oh, well, that's it then, isn't it? We might as well give up the competition.
Well, give up? After all this hard work, not likely. But all we need is a lightweight pilot.
Open up in here.
Well, it's Mr. Phillips. Do I let him in?
Of course you don't, you thick twit. Now, wait a minute. Yes, of course. Yes, you do. I've just had an idea.
But he'll cop us with all the gear.
Yeah, he might also cop us 10,000 quid. Let him in.
And about time, too. Up you, Heather.
Oh, thank you, Leslie.
Now, what have we got here?
By the look of it, Jack.
Mr. Phillips, sir, what a bit of luck you popping in, sir. Welcome to the launching pad, sir. You're just in time.
Eh? Launching pad? Welcome? What's he talking about?
Balls of twine, yes. Surgical tape, yes. Assorted nuts and bolts, yes.
Don't you worry your pretty little bonds about them things, ever. They're all anonymous and mini mouse contributions from an unknown admirer.
How unknown can you get? Even their owners didn't know they'd been whipped.
Mr. Phillips, sir, please. This is no time for paltry details. Look, once you've taken off and done that figure of eight course, we'll pop the 10,000 quid. Then all that stuff can be replaced. Now, come on. Just put on the helmet, the goggles, and the clips.
What?
It's a proud moment, sir. You're about to have the honor of being the first competitor to achieve man-powered flight over the accepted course and conditions required for official recognition.
I say, am I really? Gosh. No, wait a minute. I'm not a pilot.
No, but you are a navigator. And we need a man of that caliber to find a way over a mile-long figure-eight course.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, of course, I can see you would need an experienced chap for something as tricky as that.
Just think of it, Mr. Phillips, sir. You'll be a national hero, sir. You'll get your picture in the papers. You'll be interviewed on the telly.
He's much more likely to get an interview with Captain Povey.
Povey? I can't be bothered with him now. I'm far too busy being a national hero. Right, Chief. Start the countdown.
Leslie, it's 4:30. Captain Povey started his inspection at 4. He's bound to turn up here in a minute.
Hey, Captain Povey on board. Quick, sir, start peddling. We've got to fly that load. It's stolen out of here before old Thunderguts catches us.
Frankly, number one, I'm astounded. I've inspected practically the whole ship and I haven't found so much as one of those blasted safety pins or even an assorted nut or bolt. What's under this hatch cover?
Oh, that's number two hold, sir.
Is it? Right, well, let's have it off.
Very good, sir.
Goldstein.
Aye, aye, sir.
Take this hatch cover off, please.
Well, I will if you like, but I wouldn't advise it.
We're not asking your advice. Get that hatch cover off.
Aye, aye, sir, but I'd stand well back while I do it if I was you. Never know what might pop out when you open one of these things. There you are, sir. But before you put your heads over to have a look, I'm off. Oh, by the way, while you're gawping down the hole, if you should happen to spot a souvenir plastic leak, it's mine. Ta-da.
I think that man gets worse. All right, number one, what's down there?
Oh, well, it looks horribly like the wheel off a mini bike and the shaft of a number two iron
and the number three. And some sheets pinned up with safety pins and...
What? Oh, no, let me look. Whew! Me. I've never seen such a pile of junk in my life.
Yeah, neither have I.
Now, wait a minute. Surely there are people down there. Who are they?
I can't see, sir. That contraption's in the way.
Well, then we'll get it out, sir.
Hey, you, train driver. What you want, hey? Switch your bag down into this hole and fish this junk out.
Righto. Here you go.
Good heavens, sir. Look. That thing, whatever it is, started going round.
What? Shades of Nelson and Blake. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I'd never have believed.
And I still don't. What are we going to do?
We're going below deck straight away and into number two hold to find out exactly what's going on for ourselves.
Keep going. Keep going, Mr. Phillips, sir. You only lifted then?
Yes, pedal, Leslie, pedal. You're doing fine.
Don't worry. I'll soon have us sailing up into the wild blue yonder.
Go on, sir. Faster, faster.
Excuse me, Chief. Could I ask a little question?
What?
If Mr. Phillips does get it off the ground, how's a 20-foot-wide helicopter going to get through a 3-foot-wide hatch?
Hey? Tell me, who opened that?
Oh, careful, Leslie. You're going a funny colour.
Who cares? Phone the papers now. I might make the stop press.
Excuse me, Chief. Could I ask another little question?
What?
Why is a dirty great hook on the end of a dirty great chain come through the hatch and attached itself to Mr. Phillips' saddle?
How should I know? I can't be... It's what?
Oh, no! Oh, it's working! It's working! I'm beginning to take off!
Oh! Well done, Leslie! You're flying!
No, he isn't, miss. He's been unloaded.
Standing height, 5 feet. 10 feet.
You know what, Chief?
50 feet.
I still don't think a 20-foot helicopter can get through a 3-foot hole.
No, neither do I, but it's got to have a perishing good try.
Cheerio, you chap. See you at Farmer Air Show.
I don't think you will, sir. Everybody down!
Oh, I can't bear to look, Johnson. What happened? Did it get through?
Well, the helicopter didn't, but Mr. Phillips did.
Hey, stop! I don't belong up here. Help! I'm dangling. I've been hooked.
That's right, mate. I'm waiting for orders. Where do you want to go?
Down, of course.
Whatever you say, mate. Bombs away!
No!
And one of our aircraft failed to return.
Ah, of course you. I might have known it would be you, Chief, for the officer Pertwee. Look at all this stuff. Every single item in here is on the missing list.
Including Mr. Phillips.
Oh, yes, where is he?
He just popped out for a minute.
Well, you see, I can't explain, sir, you see. We was just conducting an experiment.
Pertwee, I will hear your long and utterly unbelievable explanation in the morning.
Oh, good. That'll give him time to make one up.
Possibly. But one thing is certain. Apart from any punishment you may get, you can rest assured that you'll pay full compensation for all this down to the last safety pin. Now come along, Red Jason.
Number one.
Aye, aye.
Yeah, very good, sir.
Oh, well, that's it then. I'm going to have to sign on for another 5 years to pay for all this lot.
Oh, I don't think you will, you know.
Eh?
Not if you know where you can flog 365 tins of whoop-whoop.
364? Well, where did they come from?
Yeah, me winnings. I wasn't going to tell you, but as I half started all this competition nonsense, I suppose I'd better help you out.
You never won. Not with I like liver lumps, because I like lumpy liver. Oh, no, you couldn't have done.
Oh, no, no, I changed it. I made Basher the Bulldog say, woof, woof, I like my tin of woof, woof liver lumps, because woof, woof is the only dog food I can ask for by name.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Then there's
a bit to come on where the heck did the football go competition.
Where did it go?
In the back of the referee's neck.
Johnson, you're a delicious dollop of dripping. What are you?
Oh, I'm better than that. I got first prize in the Which Bird Has the Bikini competition as well. Then there was Which Pair of Football Boots Fit Sandy Shaw. Then there was Getting Away from the Prize.
St.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been frustrating the spark of invention in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, the Padre was Michael Bates, Taffy Goldstein was Tenniel Evans, and Abel Seaman Johnson was played by Ronnie Barker. The show was produced for the BBC by Alistair Scott Johnston.